Let us pray. Holy One, lead us out of what we think we may know and into what you know is possible for us. Give us time and space and the courage to hear your call. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts lead us in your way. Amen. This past weekend, I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And over my time there, I ended up spending quite a bit of time in two rather peculiar but strangely compelling places. The first place that I found myself in was the Mall of America. The Mall of America is an enormous complex, which truly is not just any mall, but is a mall among malls, a mall claiming itself not to be of Bloomington, where it's actually located, but instead a Mall of America, a national mall, not full of monuments to the past, but storefront upon storefront, proclaiming in the most alluring of ways what one's future could look like. I ended up in the Mall of America for a good part of one morning because it turns out that the Mall of America is a great place to walk when the temperature outside plus the wind chill plummets to a cold that is downright dangerous. And so, true confessions, last Sunday when you were all here, I was doing lap upon lap in the Mall of America. As I made my rounds, I knew that Amy was sharing with you a word about sin and what gone wrongness looks like in the racial injustice that we experience today. But walking the Mall of America, that national shrine of sorts, was to leave all of that messiness behind. As I passed storefront upon storefront, I saw beautiful, smiling, well-adjusted people enjoying the best that life has to offer. The Mall of America is anything but messy. The white-tiled floors gleamed. The storefronts sparkled. There was nothing out of place. To walk its floors was to be assured that all was good and right in the world, and I would be lying if I said I did not feel just a little bit of its allure. The second place I found myself spending quite a bit of time in, a peculiar but rather compelling place, was the Minneapolis airport. I ended up spending far more time there than I would have wanted as I awaited my departure to Boston. I sat there waiting for my flight, but hearing plane after plane depart to all sorts of fabulous destinations. The intercom kept calling out places like Cancun, Hawaii, Alaska. So many interesting places were calling me, far more interesting than the place where I currently was. We are in a time of profound national and global discord, discontent. We know it in our bones. We know that change is needed. We know we need to change our relationship with ourselves, with each other, with the world, perhaps even with God. Last week, we named racism, we can name xenophobia, we can name fear of those whose gender identity does not fit into the binary of male and female. We can name the restlessness and loneliness we may feel in our own lives, the anxiety we feel and see in our children. We know that something is wrong. We want to make a change. But the hard part is knowing exactly how it is that we are to make a change and what that change looks like. That's why I think the messaging of the Mall of America and the airport are so compelling. Looking for a change? Well, how about this beautiful sweater and the lovely cream-colored riding boots? Want to make a fresh start? I hear Cancun is particularly lovely this time of year. There is another pathway to change, of course. that is a deep groove in our way of being with each other in this time, and it is not through the escapism that the Mall of America and the airport metaphorically epitomize. We feel the allure of escapism on the one hand, but we also can feel the threat of the escalation of violence on the other. There is also a voice that is calling for change that is loud and petulant, and that says that if change is needed, well, then it's you that needs to change. Judgment can be fast and furious. The bellicosity of discourse is just a hair's edge, it seems, to devolving into outright violence. There is a strong pull in our world these days to blame each other and to direct all our animosity and energies towards somebody else. If they would just go away, then the changes we need would come about, no problem. So here we are, knowing that change is needed, knowing gone wrongness is real, but the pathways being offered, escapism or ratcheting up the violent speech and action, we know is not really going to lead us where it is that we need to go. So where do we turn? Where do we turn? Turns out turning is a powerful concept in the biblical witness. Turning is a sign of repentance. It is recognizing that something is not right, and it is making the commitment to going in a different direction. Repentance is a change of heart, a change of mind. It is the willingness to step out of one reality and to step into another and to believe that that new reality can be possible. Repentance is what Jesus calls us into this day. In our gospel passage today, we hear the call of the disciples. We hear the call through the Gospel of Mark, but it is echoed in all four of the Gospels. Calling the disciples is an integral and important part of Jesus' ministry. I have to admit, sometimes when I hear the call of the disciples, I can hear a kind of escapism on the part of the disciples. I can think that they say yes to following Jesus because they can't wait to leave behind the fishing life. They must be dying to get out of Galilee. They want to reinvent themselves in a much more attractive and compelling place. Or maybe we can think the disciples are called because Jesus senses that he needs the hot-headedness that's in them, right? Because when push comes to shove, he may need somebody who is quick to take up a spear or unsheath a sword, right? Not at all. Not at all. It turns out, and I was doing some research into this, it turns out that these fishermen are not looking for a way to escape their life on their sea. And they are not a bunch of hotheads looking for a fight. Instead, long before they were disciples of Jesus, it turns out that these fishermen were long practiced in studying Torah. It turns out that Galilee is the center of devoted religious life. The people in Galilee are actually more educated in the Bible and its application, its scholars think, than Jews in any other region. More famous Jewish rabbis come out of the Galilee than anywhere else. Galilee was known for a reverence of scripture and a passionate desire to be faithful. And in fact, the temple at Capernaum is one of the most vibrant. These fishermen would have grown up in the synagogue. They would have heard the rabbis teach. For them, it would have been an incredible honor for a rabbi to call them to follow. To follow a rabbi meant to eat and drink and live with that rabbi for a concentrated period of time so that the student could come to embody the message that the rabbi was teaching. So when Jesus comes along the shoreline and calls these disciples to him, they jump at the chance not because they want to abandon their lives, but instead because they feel a deep desire to enter more deeply into them. The disciples know how to fish. They are good at it. And Jesus now asks them to take what they know and apply it even more deeply and expansively in the communities around them. Come, fish for people, he now says. Help people get caught up with God's love. Help them to dive deeper into what it is to become an embodied way of love. I think it is this embodied way this way of love that we too are called to, that is our way to the change that we need in this our time. D.H. Lawrence, that great author, wrote, "It is a question, practically, of relationship. We must get back into relation. Vivid and nourishing relation to the cosmos and the universe. For the truth is, we are perishing for lack of fulfillment of our greatest needs. We are cut off from the great sources of our inward nourishment and renewal, sources which flow eternally in the universe. The human race is dying. It is like a great uprooted tree with its roots in the air. We must plant ourselves again in the universe. The human race is dying. It is like a great uprooted tree with its roots in the air. We must plant ourselves again in the universe." That is what this whole season of Epiphany is about. It is about planting ourselves ever more deeply in the steadfast love of God and letting that love flow into our tap roots, up into our being, so that it may be spread out through us into the world. To love requires cultivating a reflective space between what we experience and how we choose to react to it. To love requires that we cultivate the mindfulness to pause and to choose not to escape or to condemn, but to enter in. And when I say love, I know you know what I mean. It's participating in that connective tissue of the universe, the steadfast love of God, that great foundation that is our original blessing. To dwell within love is what we are called to do. Jesus rose from the waters of the Jordan with the blessing of Beloved on him, and that was the starting place of all that he would do. And soon, the first thing that he does is to call the people into that belovedness, to be the beloved community together. That is who we are. That is what we are called to do. We are called to courageously manifest what living love looks like in this time and place. We are called to be the beloved community, to be a place of welcome and transformation, a place of nurture and inspiration, a place of justice, a place where the love of God can find us so that we can find our way in this beautiful but wounded world. The beloved community is our aspiration. And it is also our lived reality. I see love on the move when I see you. I see tenderness. I see courage. I see compassion. I see huge bear hugs of welcome. I see the ferocity of witness to justice. I see honesty. I see vulnerability. I see compassion. I see love coming alive in this place. So let us turn. Let us say yes again and again to the one that is calling us to follow. Let us follow in the way of steadfast love made manifest in Jesus. Let us not go the way of escapism. Let us not go the way of domination. Let us enter into loving engagement. Let us renew our commitment to being a place where we can hear and act on the call and to move even more deeply into who it is that God asks us to be and how it is that God asks us to be. So may love be made manifest in each and every one of us and in what it is that we are doing here together. May that be our call. And thanks be to God. Amen.